Thank you for joining us for this message from More Life Church, where we exist to love God, to love people, to reach a region for Jesus, and to make a difference for generations to come. Now, to learn more about how we're reaching our community and how you can partner with us and learn how God has uniquely designed you, check out Growth Steps On Demand by visiting morelifechurch.com/growthsteps or by downloading our app today. But now, enjoy today's message.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to begin in verse 1. I'm going to read verses 1 and then 4 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 and then 4 through 11. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. This is a very important passage and chapter in God's Word that Paul emphasizes. There's really only one other time when Paul uses this language where he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. So it doesn't happen very often. And Paul's saying, what I'm about to say to you is vitally important to your future, to you making a difference, to you exalting and magnifying Jesus in the earth. And I don't want you to be ignorant about these spiritual gifts. So then verse 4, here's where he begins to outline them. And here's what he says. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Everybody say Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. Everybody say Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Everybody say God. I want you to just see something real briefly here. That in these verses are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the person and the Godhead of the Trinity. He begins to say that all of these expressions of who God is matter in our life. And he tucks it away in a really interesting way right in the middle of these gifts. And I wanted you to see him present in this way. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I've titled today's message, Unearned and Unlearned. Unearned and Unlearned. There are three categories, subcategories of these nine gifts. There is the first category, which is the speaking gifts. The speaking gifts say something. There are the revelation gifts. The revelation gifts show us or reveal to us something. And the third category are the power gifts. And the power gifts, they do something. And so these three gifts are the gifts that do something. They exude God's power. Some people would have the opinion that these are natural gifts that we learn. Like gifts of healings would be something that is given to a doctor or someone in the medical field. And whereas that is an interesting way to come at it, all of these gifts are supernatural in nature. They're God-designed. They're God-breathed. There's nothing natural about any of them. We live, ladies and gentlemen, in a very wild time. And what I want to say about these power gifts, these gifts that do something, that they really show the power of God, is this. You and I cannot reason with the world around us any longer. I know you don't want to say amen to that just yet, but this is why I want to say it to you. We as Christians have to understand that the battles we wage are not natural physical battles. These are spiritual matters. And as long as you and I are arguing with one another and mentally disagreeing and having debates and discussions and arguing with our intellect and our emotions, we'll never really tap into the real nature of what God wants to do in the earth around us, which God wants to show his power and his might. And while we're busy arguing, God's saying, why Why don't you all stop arguing and let me flex my spiritual power in the earth and actually get some stuff done that you've been praying would get done, but cannot happen through the arm of the flesh or through intellect or through just a really good argument. Like, in other words, I don't want to talk about anything specific, but I'm going to stay general. And in generalities, I want to say this. The world around us is just gone plain nuts. Amen. It doesn't matter to me if you're a believer or not a believer. The world is crazy. As me and my friends used to say in high school, it's 14 karat crazy. I think it might have even upgraded to 24 karat crazy. I mean, it's crazy out there. It's wild in these streets. I mean, it's nuts. It's bonkers. And during the last 18 months, I have felt so discouraged at times, so maybe even depressed. I hate to admit that to you, but that's how I have felt. And what I have felt is the church has missed its moment. The church did not capitalize on things the way we should have. And the best days are behind us. And we just now have to just be in maintenance mode and just have to kind of hunker around and hunker down and just kumbaya with a few of our friends because, you know, it's just not, we've just seen our last days. We've seen our best last days and they're over. They're over. That's how I felt. I felt like all through the last 18 months that we should have, as a church, been doing things better and that we missed out on opportunities and that we were never going to get it back. But I don't feel that way anymore. I don't feel that way anymore. The church's best days are not behind her. The church's best days are yet ahead of us. And I don't mean just one expression of the local church. I mean the church. I mean like the opportunity to help people in their greatest time of need. It is not behind us. It is in front of us. And that is why we need to talk about these spiritual gifts. Because we will not get this done in our own strength. We will not get this done in our own power. It is going to take the power of God to change our circumstances and our situations. And here's the good news though. God is not short on power. And these power gifts show us that. And I want to say, I said all that to say this. You and I cannot reason with a reprobate mind. It takes the power of God to cut through all of that noise, not only in other people's lives, but in our lives. It takes a tremendous amount of faith to have someone disagree with us and have a strong opinion and us not verbally attack them. We're bad at that as Christ followers. I think we're just, forget about Christ follower, not Christ follower. We're just bad at that as human beings. We're so insecure. We're so insecure that until everybody thinks and believes like me, then I just can't rest and can't be happy. Listen, I don't agree with me half of the time. How's that gonna work with us having to agree all the time? Like, I just wanna be at a place where I'm saying, okay, God, our best days are ahead of us and really believe that in it, not just be something that's said. These gifts do something. The first one is special faith. Now, every Christ follower has faith. If we look at all the other gifts in this list, they are gifts that demonstrate God's power. For the Spirit to manifest this gift is God stirring us up, an individual up, with such great faith that it causes the individual to believe something that is seemingly impossible on the surface. This is different than the kind of faith that you express when you put your life in Jesus' hands. This is a special gift that comes when you just can't doubt what's in front of you. You just can't not believe that God's going to come through. It is a special gift that happens as God wills. There are three different kinds of faith referred to in the New Testament. Romans chapter 10, the faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The faith that is essential for salvation. That's the first type. The second type is the one that the Holy Spirit talks, or the word of God talks about, is a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness. Distinguishing between fruit and gift is important. Fruit, let me just use the fruit analogy. Fruit grows gradually over time. That faith that we carry in our heart to walk more and more with Christ, it grows daily in our lives. We feed it with God's word. We feed it by hearing God's word over and over and over again. But this special gift doesn't come gradually. It comes all at once in some big sweeping move where it just drops on you and you're like, God is going to come through. I know it looks impossible, but God is going to do this in my life. It's the type of faith that we heard Sadie and Jordy express when they got their miracle baby. And if you haven't seen that testimony, it's on our Facebook page and it's pinned, where they just couldn't not believe that God was going to bring them through the fire. They just knew that God was going to do it. And that's that third type, that miraculous faith that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a tiny portion of God's faith that's supernaturally imparted to us by the Spirit of God. Now, there are two ways that we can express, or that this gift is expressed when it comes upon us. The first one is words spoken to God on behalf of another. This is a hyper-energized prayer where we speak to God on behalf of someone else. It's what Elijah did when he prayed for there to be no rain, and then when he prayed for rain to come. It was Elijah to God. The second type is that there are words spoken to a person on behalf of God. How many of you, well, I can give you this example. Joshua in the Old Testament, he spoke to a person or an object. When he spoke to the sun, he spoke to an object, and he said, "Sun, stand still." This was a gift of faith in operation in Joshua's life. This is happening over and over in the Gospels in Jesus' life. When Jesus speaks to the storm and it's calm. When Jesus raises the widow's son from the dead. When Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. When Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. When Peter raises Dorcas from the dead. So on and so forth. So this gift of faith you'll often see paired with the next gift that the Holy Spirit gives, which is miracles. Now let me just say something about miracles that might upset you at first, but just think about it for a moment. Miracles do not happen as frequently as we wish they would. They are few and far between. But I want you to know exactly where I stand. I believe that all of these gifts are still active and working in the church today. They all happen. God, let me just say it this way, God still does miracles in our midst. He does miracles. Now, some would have you to believe they happen all day, every day. They're not as frequent as you might think. Otherwise, they couldn't be called miracles. Miracles are something that God ordains. That end of that verse says that all these gifts are as the Spirit wills, as God decides to distribute these. And one of the things that I'm going to talk to Jesus about when I get to heaven is, how's come my mama didn't get a miracle? I want to know the answer to that question. She passed away. Listen, I'm not mad about it. I'm not bitter. And I hope if God seemingly didn't come through for you in a situation or circumstance, I hope you can get to the place this morning where you say, I'm not blaming God. I'm not mad at God. Of all the people and things you could blame, God is the wrong person to blame. God is not to blame. Right? Let's get mad at the right things. But I have questions. But miracles happen. The phrase working of miracles implies that the Holy Spirit may use a person to be involved in the action. So instead of only believing God for something with the gift of faith, God may use a person to be a conduit for that miracle, such as when Elijah took his cloak and hit the waters and they parted. Here are a handful of examples. I'm going to start with my favorite. In case you're wondering what is my favorite miracle in all of the Bible, it's in John chapter 2. It's when Jesus turns the water into wine. I think that's the best one. As an Italian, that one just warms my soul. Come on, somebody. Like, Jesus multiplies the loaves and the fishes, a miracle. He does what is impossible. He anoints a blind man with clay and restores his sight. Peter and John raise up a lame man at the gate called Beautiful. Paul preaches too long, and a young man falls out of the window in the middle of his preaching, hits the ground and dies, and Paul goes down and raises him from the dead. That's a miracle. A miracle is often triggered by a simple act of faith. On one side of miracles, then, is this miracle, and then on the other side could be healing. Oftentimes, these things are merged together. Miracles, healings, and faith. It's kind of like blue, green, and yellow. They kind of all have the same, they kind of have all, they're really related, right? Green and yellow make blue, and so you can't really have one without the other, and so oftentimes these intermingle, and I want to see if I can explain this as I talk about the gifts of healings, because I just felt like this is the place to land and stay the longest. This is the only gift that's referred to in the plural on both ends. If they can put it back up, you'll see this. It's the gifts of healings. The gifts of healings. It's interesting. Why wouldn't it just say the gift of healing? It's the gifts of healings. And I want to talk about that. But a healing is something that happens in the body gradually over time. A miracle is something that's instantaneous. So in other words, if you had some type of sickness or disease that was incurable and it was recovered instantly, it left instantly, I would call that a miracle, because I think that's what the Bible refers to it as. But if you're sick and you recover over time, I would refer to that as healing, because healing happens gradually over time. We're going to look at an example of that if we have time. An instantaneous, perceptible healing is what we'll refer to as a miracle and be the distinguishing factor between healing and miracle. I know I'm giving you a lot of information, but let me give you several examples of this type of healing. At the pool of Bethesda, Jesus heals a multitude of sick people. Jesus performed only those works we see in John 5, verse 19, that the Father revealed to him. Some more of these examples are in Luke chapter 5, when there's a whole group of people who are in a room, and the healing power of God comes in and permeates the entire room, and the man who's let down on the mat is healed. When Jesus touches the leper, and the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 8, 1 through 3, it talks about how they were healed as they went. So a gradual process, not instantaneous. This happens, and I want to look at one in Mark chapter 8, verse 22. This one won't be on screen. I couldn't get the entire media team flooded with all of these notes. I have about 10 times more than normal, and I didn't want to make them sift through it. So Mark chapter 8, I want to look at this. Mark chapter 8. And I want to bring this down to why it matters to us. Mark chapter 8. Are y'all doing okay today? Okay. Okay, good. Mark chapter 8. And let's look at verse 22. And then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him, Jesus, to touch him, the blind man. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. Pause. Jesus, and following Jesus is messy, y'all. He spit, like, this is crazy. This is weird. This is nonsense on a natural plane. But this is what the scripture says Jesus, our Lord, did. He spit on the man's eyes and then put his hands on him. He spit in the dude's face. How many want to come up for the prayer line here in just a moment? Nobody. Right? Nobody. And he looked at him and said, this is what the blind man said. He said, I see men like trees walking. How many would agree that the blind man has not received a complete healing just yet because trees don't walk? Verse 25 says this, then he put his hands on his eyes again. This is Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. Why couldn't he get it done right the first time? Seriously, think about it. Dive into this for just a second and think through it. It says this, and then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. That's why I'm saying there is a difference, and many other reasons we could look at. There's a difference between a healing and a miracle. This blind man didn't receive a miracle. He was healed. It was a gradual process. You see what I'm saying? And so oftentimes, we look past our healing because we are expecting a miracle, and we turn loose of faith when it doesn't happen in our timetable. And what I want to encourage you about is this, to just hold on a little bit longer sometimes. These things with last weekend was interesting. If you were here, we prayed for some folks who were sick. And during this entire series, this is what I've been asking God to do. God, I believe it's your will for us to teach on these things, and that you will confirm your word with signs that follow the teaching of your truth. And as you will, God, I don't want us just to know about these gifts. I want us to experience them. In other words, I want people who need miracles to receive miracles. I want people who need healing to receive their healing. I want people who need that extra boost of faith to get through that business proposition or that relationship or that job encounter. Whatever it is, I want us to experience these gifts. God, you said these are for us. You said you would give these as you will. So we're just coming after you as a church and saying, God, do your thing in our lives. That's my deepest prayer. Now, let me talk about this gifts of healings bit. Because what I've observed in my own life and Angie's life is that we each have some gifts in this category, or God has used us in times past in this area. And she and it's plural yet again, we don't share the same ones or haven't experienced the same ones. But one of the ones that Angie and I seem to, for whatever reason, have been used by God in is to pray for individuals who haven't been able to conceive a child and who want to conceive a child. It's like when this happens, it's like something special is added to our lives. My wife and I, we have four kids, so conception hasn't really been a problem for us. And I don't mean to say that funny at all. I mean, it kind of maybe came out funny, but I mean, it's a blessing. And I share in the joys of people who can conceive, and I share in the sorrows of those who struggle in that area, because I know it's terribly painful. We've walked with people who've gone through miscarriages and challenges, and we just stood with them, and we prayed with them, and we asked God to do His thing in their life. That's one gift of one type of healing that God has seen fit to use us to do. And so one person doesn't have all of those gifts. In fact, no one has any of them. They are given to us as God sees fit. What I'm asking you to do, which you might be wondering, Josh, what are you asking me to do? I'm asking you to look closely at these gifts during this series and say, God, I want you to use me however you want to use me. Let me say this. I am confident that God wants to use you more than he has been up until this point. And I'm also confident that some of you have shied away from allowing God to use you in these spectacular or supernatural ways because you've been afraid of what others may say or think because you have these beliefs. I want to say this. The Holy Spirit of God is not weird. People are weird, but he is not. He is not. And what I am so pressing into God for is to see these gifts working in the lives of everyday people as he wills. That's all of us. And this is what I'm praying for, that some of you will have friends and family that have a need and they come to you because they trust you and they respect you, and you'll pray with them. You don't have to push your way into any scenario. That people will come and they'll ask you at times, and you just take their hand and you pray with them and you watch and you see that God is going to begin to do something supernatural in your world and in the life of those that you have a relationship with. It may be possible at times where you would do and pray for someone that you've never met before. Good on you. If that's the way you are and that's what you want to do, go for it. I'm a little more reserved than that. I just am trying to say this to you, that we can't be afraid of what God wants to do in our lives because it seems unusual to us. Let me just say it to you this way. God's either got his stuff or he doesn't. And if he doesn't, we all might as well go home and never come back. But if he does have his stuff, then I think we ought to put our hearts and minds toward to doing his will and saying, okay, God, you might be in varying stages of this. God, this is the first time I've ever heard any of this stuff. I'm not so sure how I feel about all this. I'm going to just think about it. Perfect. I love that. Some other may be like, oh man, I'm ready. God, use me. Some others, you might be in the category, my God, Josh, I've been waiting for this for 10 years. You finally caught up to where I am. Great. Anything and everything in between. I'm asking you, as a part of the body of Christ, to say this. God, how is it that you want to use me? And I'm open. Here I am. Now, this last part that I'm going to finish on, my preaching clock never started, so I still have 35 minutes. For every person that says bring it on is five people saying, you dummy. I don't know who said it, so I'm not calling anybody a name. I'm just saying, I tried to get to lunch. Keep quiet. I know how it is. I'm not that good. And I don't need to be because God's good enough for all of us. And that's my hope, is that you look to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. I think it'll be on screen. Says this. Even so you, since you are zealous, like you're really going after spiritual gifts. I said everything I was saying because of this verse. Since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let these gifts be for the edification of the church so that you may seek to excel. Anytime God moves, is to build us up and to strengthen us. I want to say this to you about the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit, when he's in operation, when his presence is in the room with you, he will never repel you from Jesus. He will always draw you to Jesus. He will never distract you from Jesus. He will always draw you to Jesus. That thing and that person will never be the center of attention. The Holy Spirit will always make it so that Jesus is the center of attention. Because he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And none of us get to the Father except through him. These gifts are to build up the body of Christ. It's from the Greek word charis, where we get the word charisma. It means grace. These gifts are free, unmerited expressions of God's favor toward the undeserving and the ill-deserving. for the people who've gone the exact opposite. Paul, as an example, he is persecuting and killing Christians when his name is Saul. And he has an encounter, one of the ones that we'll talk about, one of the gifts of the Spirit that we'll look at in the upcoming weeks. He has an experience, a vision, an encounter with God, someone who was an enemy with God. May we never forget that that self-righteousness is one of the most disgusting attributes that we can carry in our hearts and our lives. Self-righteousness will never draw people to Christ. And when we think we deserve something, we move from the heart of what God is saying in these verses. These gifts, this charis, it's unearned, it's undeserved, it's unlearned. I said unearned and unlearned together because I don't want you to just leave these off to the things that people learn in university. Learning in university is an incredible experience. Wonderful privilege for education, to have education. But these gifts don't come because you learn enough. They come because he bestows his charis, his grace on your life. It's undeserved. It's unearned. It's unlearned. And this grace has only one channel. It only comes through one means. It's the man Christ Jesus. This grace is offered to only one kind of person, and that's the humble. It's the humble who get God's grace. Grace is received by only one means. It's through faith. It's through that expression that, Jesus, I trust that you have done for me what I could not do for myself. And grace has only one distributor, and his name is the Holy Spirit. He's in this room with us right now because he lives in this heart of every believer. He's good, and his mercy endures forever. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. So much of my life and Angie's life is the result of God intersecting our world and us just simply saying, okay, God, if that's what you want to do, we'll let you do that. We want you to do what you want to do. And I want you to invite his presence into your life in a deeper way. Maybe you don't understand it all yet. No one ever does when they say yes. It's like when someone says yes to having children. If you knew what it meant, you wouldn't do it. It's like what happens when someone says yes to getting married. Nobody would do it if you knew what it meant. So is the journey with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's like, man, this makes me uncomfortable. It's an aching void of unknown. I have no control. How many people in the room would be honest enough with me today and say, just honestly, you like being in control? Let me see your hands. It'll do you some good. I like being in control. I like being in control. I do. I do. I love it. But you know what I've grown to love even more? Giving my life into the hands of the one who knows the beginning from the end, who knows the end of my story, the one who is going to make sense of all of this one day. I'm just at a place where I'm trying to ask you to just let him have control. You're not that good at it, and neither am I. I've said some strong things to you throughout the years, and this series is going to, I believe this. I'm saying this with the help of the Spirit of God. This series is going to change people's lives in and out of our church for eternity. Because some of us are just getting that faith stirred up in our hearts. We're being reminded. Maybe some of us, we used to say, oh man, I was hungry for spiritual gifts. The Bible tells us to desire spiritual gifts, to hunger for them. Blessed is the one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Why? Because they get filled. They get filled. And so I'm sure I'm long past time. But even so, you,
since you're zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification, the building up of the church, to be strengthened. I hope today the worship and the word lands in a place in your heart that makes you stronger when you leave than when you came in.
Thanks again for joining us for this message from More Life Church. Now, if this message spoke to you, we would love for you to share this message with someone you think could use it. And finally, if you would like to partner financially with More Life Church, you can do that by visiting morelifechurch.com/give. Now have an amazing day.